This is Will's Band of the Week for April 15th, 2013. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hey.
We're all at undisclosed locations tonight. We're not going to even say where we are.
And at some point, my dryer or my washing machine is going to go off. So please don't pay any attention to that.
That's
not the furnace tonight.
Folks.
It's not the furnace tonight. The washing machine is the big problem.
And hopefully, there aren't tennis balls in the. In the dryer tonight.
No.
Washing machine or whatever. Yeah. All right. How are we doing, guys?
Not too bad.
Barrett's fresh back from Chicago, I understand.
Yeah. Got back at about 6.
It would seem like you'd have like a story to tell about that.
Yeah. I have a little story to tell.
Ah, let's hear it.
We just launch right into that?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I don't run this podcast, so.
Okay.
I vote for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you second that motion?
It's approved.
Okay. I went to the phosphorescent show in Chicago last night, and I put a little picture of the marquee up on Facebook, so anybody that's paying attention might have had an idea that was going to happen.
I tried to like it on Facebook, but it would only let me like it as the Will's Band of the Week podcast.
Yeah, that looks a little too self-serving.
Right, so... Anyway,
but,
go on.
Yeah, so the show was sold out, but I went on Craigslist late last week and had to pay a little extra to go. Met the guy there and got into the show. And was that Lincoln Hall? You guys ever been there?
I have not. I've seen a lot of shows, you know, that have played there, and I mean, I've seen them listed and thought it would be intriguing.
It's a great, great place. I was really blown away. Hmm. I mean, you walk in and there's like kind of a bar area and tables for dining, and they have like pretty good food and drinks and stuff. And everybody that's in there has a ticket to get into the show. Okay, so when the show starts, they just swing these doors open on either side of the bar, and you kind of could hang out back there and socialize if you wanted, and then easily just walk to the bar or to the, the room with the stage and check out the show. So it was just really, really cool that way. And musically, he played pretty much everything off of the new album. And, you know, I'm not super familiar with his first couple. And so there were only a couple of songs I didn't recognize. But I had a real, real, real tight band, and he sounded good. And, the sound in the place was also very good. So I give Phosphorescent and Lincoln Hall 2 thumbs up.
Great.
Yep.
Sounds good. And
even JJ liked it. JJ liked it so much she bought 2 t-shirts.
2?
Yeah. She
wow.
bought each of us a t-shirt.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Because I was feeling kind of guilty because we paid scalper prices for the tickets. We had to price line a room, right? The dog. We went out to dinner. I mean, it's got kind of expensive. It's not just like when, you know, we go to shows in Madison where it's $14 plus beers plus, you know, a trip to Perkins.
Yes.
It was pretty expensive. So when she, you know, she came back with those t-shirts, I thought, all right, she's not totally mad about the money. So that made me feel better.
Good.
But, yeah.
Good.
And in fact, in a few weeks, Kurt Vile is playing there on his Tuesday night. So let's go. We're going. That's all there is to it. Who's with me?
Wait, we gotta give him a chance to come to our state, right? Do we know? Is he bypassing Wisconsin?
I don't know.
Yeah.
This place is so good, it kind of doesn't matter.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a nice place.
Definitely got to keep that one in mind for a future show or shows.
Yeah. So that's my news.
Well, you had the pricey show. I saw a free show. Grant and I went to see Ice Age at the Memorial Union Ratskeller. You know, there's something about the Ratskeller that even, I mean, it hasn't changed in years and years, right? In decades, right? But for some reason, being there last week, it was like, it seems like so minimalist. I mean, you know, you got the stage that's like a foot high, and it's kind of, you know, you can go like behind it and to the side, and it's just such an odd setup that it almost makes, it sort of minimizes the whoever's playing there, I think. They don't have much in the way of lights. I mean, if you had lights, you could probably set them up, but people really don't. So it seemed like a band playing in somebody's basement or something, which I guess in some ways can be good. In the case of Ice Age, it was, you know, they were pretty good, but they were, you know, continuing their punk rock attitude. They came on, played like 35 minutes or so, just walked off in punk rock fashion, you know. And the guy... The guy didn't have any kind of banter with the crowd at all, except he would, like, name the title of the song before they played it, and then they'd play it, you know. And it was kind of like, in the crowd, it was sort of, you know, I don't want to say sparse, but, I mean, maybe like 50 people in there, you know. Then they kind of crowded up toward the front, so it wasn't totally sparse, but it wasn't a lot of people. So the whole thing was kind of a rainy night, and I love the band, but this was not a band where you go see them live and you say, wow, you got to see this band live because they're better than the recording. They're really, I think the recording is better than the live band, at least in this case.
Yeah, so I had the same impression when we saw them, you know, in front of tens of thousands of people at the Pitchfork Festival, that they, you know, the bass guy's amp kept going out or something, or what was that? What was happening there?
Yeah, one of the amps was out, so they were just standing around for, you know, long stretches of time.
The lead singer, you know, he had the whole like punk rock attitude type of thing where he wouldn't talk to anybody, and you know, these guys are probably what, 18, 19 years old or something. It's just like, it's so tired and it's so played out. They just, you know, they're going through the punk rock manual of how exactly you have to behave to be taken seriously, and I don't know. It wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was hoping for like a different kind of a vibe when I saw them, but I got a little bit of that too. So they're all right. The band is good. They were kind of fast and loud. The opening bands were interesting. There were three bands, and they all played, you know, for 20 to 30 minutes, so didn't take too long. But the first band was like just the perfect open for Ice Age band, you know, great, noisy, loud, intense, pretty good band. Second band was like some retro band it was like a punk band from like 1979. Total, like, guy screaming, and it was just a complete throwback, which was, you know, kind of fun, but it was, like, completely, for anybody who was listening to punk rock back then, you're like, God, this is just an exact replica, you know? Only he's not as old as us.
Was it Ian Rubbish?
It could have been. Now you got to tell your Ian Rubbish story, Chris.
There was a skit on Saturday Night Live featuring an old 80s British punk rocker named Ian Rubbish, who was against all things authoritarian, but seemingly just loved Margaret Thatcher. So every time he'd launch into his "I Love Margaret Thatcher" song, everybody in the, you know, the punk rock crowd would start throwing stuff at him and stuff. So it was kind of funny. I'll put a link to it on the Facebook page.
All right.
So Ian Rubbish. Perfect. Perfect name.
I still think that's funny for some reason.
Yeah, that's like probably the best part of the skit was the guy's name.
Yeah.
One other item.
Now that I've spoiled the skit, though. I mean, it kind of like leads up to it. You don't see it coming, and then. But anyway.
One other item. Coachella's going on. You guys seen that? There's a live feed. This is the music festival thing now, right? You got to do a live feed.
When Barrett mentioned Kurt Vile before, I was actually just reading something where people were complaining that Kurt Vile wasn't any good. He was playing at Coachella.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Well, he was playing at one of those festivals last year, maybe Lollapalooza or something. It was it was called Kurt Vile and the Violators, I think, his band.
Mm.
I thought they sounded really good. So, but that was last year, and this is this year, so who knows? But anyway, so Coachella has this YouTube feed, and you could watch like three different stages at a time. And the first night, I was thinking, yeah, there's quite a bit of good stuff here. And then Saturday, it was like a lot of really not that great stuff, where I was thinking, this is kind of not very impressive. But here's my little trivia item. You know who was playing in front of a crowd of thousands and thousands of people? I couldn't believe it. The Violent Femmes.
Hmm.
You guys remember the Violent Femmes?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Sure.
Wisconsin band. Sort of a one-hit wonder, right? Like, beyond Blister in the Sun, like, do they have any other, like, really popular songs?
Oh, yeah, they got plenty of songs.
The whole album is,
right.
Yeah.
I guess that album was really big, but I didn't have the album, and I just heard Blister in the Sun all the time, and I always thought, you know, these guys aren't that great. So I was never that big of a fan, and then they kind of disappeared, and here they are playing at Coachella, and I'm thinking, man, are there people in that audience that are, like, thinking, like, this is great, we're seeing the Violent Femmes? I don't know. I was just kind of skeptical.
And I think they're better regarded than you're aware of. Don't
be.
You, Chris?
Yeah.
I mean they've been around. They had some albums after that, and the only one I can remember is Hallowed Ground, which I had, and I also liked that one. And I kind of lost them after that, but they're playing at Summerfest. I know that.
Yeah.
Well, I knew a girl in high school who was a groupie of the Violent Femmes and followed them all around, and who knows what else she did. But
off their first album, Add It Up is another pretty popular song. As is Gone Daddy Gone.
Oh, Gone Daddy Gone. Yeah. That was a big one. Yeah. I remember that one. Yeah.
Hmm. Yep.
Okay. I sold them short a little bit.
Especially here in Wisconsin, they still have a pretty strong following. Yeah.
It just seemed weird, though, like hardly hearing anything about them for 15 years, and then suddenly they're playing in front of, like, you know, whatever. 80,000. Well, maybe in front of their stage it was only 20,000. But then I was thinking, would they sell out the High Noon? You know?
Yeah.
So they would. They'd play like the Barrymore or something.
I think. Yeah. Don't you think?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they would play at the
Majestic.
At the Barrymore or the Majestic.
All right. They're bigger than I'm giving them credit for. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, Violent Femmes. I apologize.
That's okay. I was way into them when I was in high school, like a junior or so. Really liked it.
All right. I think we've covered the musical news items.
We've been actually getting some mail lately. We should do a little housekeeping here and talk about some of the cards and letters that we've gotten.
Yeah, we've got some good
stuff. I got that one
stuff.
Thing from the... if you remember back a while ago, we talked about the Grateful Dead and theorized that anybody that likes that, the only way you could like that music is if you were on drugs.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I said that. And I just don't like it at all. I just can't see anything about it that would interest me. Anyway, I wish I had his name. I was looking for the email and I cannot find it right now. But he wrote in to say that here it is. He's one fan that does not do drugs and just appreciates them for the music. So I volunteered myself to listen to some Grateful Dead.
Oh.
Exactly. Wait, yeah, maybe really like it then, right?
Yeah, wow.
You know? And so he gave me some pointers. He said I should start it with American Beauty. And as he says, keep that in my car for a week or two. And if I don't want to throw it out the window after that time, then maybe I can try some Fish. Right? I think that's going a little bit too far. But, so I listened to it once. I need to listen to it some more before I can tell them that I tried it and I don't like it. But that's my prediction, that I will not like it.
But you're going to give it
a try. I'm going to give it a try.
One or two more listens, maybe.
Yeah. I think you guys should do that same thing. Chris, you might be more interested in this music than I am.
When I was in college, I met this girl, and you know, she was into music and I was into music, so I was like, oh yeah, let's go ahead and trade music. So I gave her a Nine Inch Nails CD, and she gave me a Fish CD. So needless to say, our musical tastes were not in line with one another. And I listened to this, the Fish CD Lawn Boy, and it was like the most awful thing that I'd ever heard in my life. And so, you know, I tried to be as polite as I could. But for me, that was the end of just like trying to suggest music. Even though that's all we do here on the podcast is suggest music to people.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really awkward when you suggest something to somebody and they don't like it, because then you can't like bring it up in conversation anymore. I don't know. Yeah. Just pushing music on loved ones is never a good idea, I don't think so. But in college, I actually lived in a house with a bunch of deadheads. And so it was always playing in the house and stuff. And, you know, there's some stuff that, you know, musically is actually pretty impressive. And
yeah, I don't doubt that.
I actually got to like some Fish stuff later on. All the guys in Fish, I think, are like doctorate in music guys. So they're not, you know, they're not just slackers or whatever. The Trey Anastasio has some solo stuff that I think is actually pretty good. But I don't go back to the well very often.
Well, I think you should listen to a little American Beauty and Working Man's Dead. I'm going to. Will, I don't even know if I can ask you to do that. That is so against all of your principles. I'm not even going to suggest that you do that. Well, your son would ridicule you.
I was going to say
you'd have to do it.
It would be
secretively.
Like how long until there's like a huge uproar. I think my wife would object, maybe even before my kids would.
Yeah.
That is, by the way, that's completely backwards and pretty awesome. The fact that you can't listen to certain music because your children will think you're uncool. Whereas normally, isn't it like you try to hide the music that you listen to from your parents?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Anyway, this letter came from Greg in New Hampshire.
All right.
So thanks for writing in, Greg. He listens with his wife, so mention his wife's name, but...
There's no better
listeners.
Way to spend an evening with your wife than to just sit down on the couch and turn on the Will's Band of the Week podcast.
Totally.
I can't think of better thing.
We're saving marriages one by one all across America.
Bringing fathers and sons together, too.
Right.
Chris, you want to tell about that story? It involves your perception.
Right. We got an email from Nicholas Ogburn in Australia. I believe he's moved. Wasn't he in Perth at some point or whatever? But now he's in he's in Melbourne.
I don't know.
And
I don't remember.
Now that Australia has a Masters champion, because Adam Scott just won the first Aussie to win the Masters here in America. But here, I found it. All right. In the last episode, we were talking about we were doing music trivia, and I asked Barrett what the first song on Jeff Buckley's Grace album was. And I was taunting Barrett, saying that even Baby Ogburn knew the answer to this, because Fox Ogburn, his son, is the official baby of the Will's Band of the Week podcast.
Yep.
So here's what he says. During your music trivia quiz bit, it was like you were right here in Melbourne. Barrett was struggling to answer the Jeff Buckley question. Believe it or not, I'd just gone into the music room with little Foxy, my lovely son, and we were listening when Chris said, Nicholas Ogburn and even Baby Ogburn are shouting the answer. In fact, we were shouting the answer because it was the only one I knew for sure. So there you go. So while they're listening to the podcast.
The baby was shouting Mojo Pin. Maybe the baby's first words.
Right. I think he might be taking a little bit of license with that, but unless the baby's big into Jeff Buckley. Baby's like 3 months old.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's never too early to get started on Jeff Buckley, I guess.
What's Ben going to say sometime in the future when she's in college and listening to her dad's old podcast, when she finds out that Fox Ogburn and not her is the official baby? The World Band of the Week podcast.
I know she's going to go back to the archives and cause some trouble. 20 years from now when that happens, I'll deal with it then.
All right.
Speaking of my children, today I just showed them how a record player works.
Nice.
They looked at me like I was 112 years old. They're like, oh my god! And then they just went and they picked up their Google tablets and started listening to Spotify.
Yeah. spinning record thing is just so outdated.
It held no interest for them whatsoever.
Huh.
So, speaking of Spotify, I actually found a what do you call them? It's like an app for Spotify. You can add on different things, and this thing is called SoundDrop. And so you go to SoundDrop, and basically what it is it's like listening rooms where you join up with other people that are all listening to the same songs at the same time you are. Uh-huh. And I suppose you can like chat with these people or whatever, but you can add songs to the list. So it's like almost a jukebox where everybody in the room is listening to it at the same time. And I think you can like vote on what song you want moved up to the top or whatever. But I jumped into a couple of the rooms last night, and the alternative folk one is actually really good. Enjoyed hearing a lot of new stuff that I probably normally wouldn't have heard. And all this stuff comes recommended from people. So some of it's going to have some appeal. And, jumped into a couple other rooms that are really good too. So if you have Spotify, I would recommend it. It's free. You just add it onto your account, and it's called SoundDrop, SoundDrop. So that's my recommendation.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I've noticed a couple of these Spotify apps. Played around with them a little bit, but none of them that are... There's one that displays the lyrics of whatever you're playing.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called TuneWiki. But then I've noticed a couple songs that I played, and it said, lyrics not available. And here's one I'm looking at that says, lyrics removed. Unfortunately, these lyrics have been removed at the publisher's request. So I don't know what their library is like. But it's kind of fun in concept, right? They display the lyrics.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes aren't the people who own the lyrics different than the people that own the actual music? Like, isn't it kind of weird the way that's set up?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. I'm not sure. Yeah. All right, we have a lot of music to talk about. We should. There hasn't been any music on the podcast yet. Not even a jingle or anything. I think the listeners are getting restless that, just our voices. Come on, I mean, how long can you really take that? All right, let's talk about the new Waves album. There's a new Waves album, you guys. It's called Afraid of Heights. I think it's actually the fourth Waves album. The first one was really lo-fi, and the second one was pretty lo-fi, and the third one was actually more of a regular album. And I think Chris had it number one of, 2011, maybe?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you have had a prior album by the band at number one, I think then you should start the discussion on this album. Right?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's certainly not a departure in any way from what he's done in the past. Waves is essentially this one guy who, when he first started making albums, they were pretty much do-it-yourself albums in his basement or whatever. And they really kind of had that feel. They were really lo-fi. And he's getting more hi-fi a little bit.
Yeah, this one's actually sort of hi-fi, I think.
Yeah,
Then there's some name guests, even though I can't remember who any of them are, but like there were like people, influential music people.
On his last EP that just came out last year, I believe it's called Life Sucks.
Yeah,
there's a pretty good song with he and Bethany Cosentino of Best Coast.
Because they're boyfriend girlfriend.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nathan Williams is the Waves guy, and Bethany Cosentino. At least they have been like this rock and roll couple. I always assume we're going to read that they broke up, but I haven't read that yet. So
they've now replaced like Ben Gibbard and Zoe Deschanel.
I guess so. Yeah,
as rock's like number one couple.
Apparently, well, I don't know if they're rock's number one. Probably whoever's dating like Justin Timberlake, that's rock's number one couple, right? But I don't know.
But anyway, I like this one a lot. I mean, it's pretty much just a continuation of some of the stuff that he's done in the past. Just give people an idea. My favorite song on here, I believe, is called where is it? I'm looking at it on my list. It's called That's On Me, which is kind of late in the album.
You are
Waves. That one's got a Nirvana influence, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Funny you should say that, because on this last on the last EP, the aforementioned Life Sucks EP, there's actually a song called I Want to Meet Dave Grohl, which, first, two things. I wonder if you ever actually did meet Dave Grohl. Secondly, if you did want to meet Dave Grohl, I think writing a song explicitly called I Want to Meet Dave Grohl is probably a good start.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? That's Waves. And it's a power pop album. It's a good power pop album, though, right? I mean, I thought, as I listened to this, that he's now doing what Green Day can no longer do. You know, Green Day's Over the Hill, and Waves is now kind of rocking.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot better than Green Day right now, I'd say.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of down on Green Day now, but and I think this is pretty solid, like, it probably deserves to, you know, go pretty far.
I was actually just thinking about this the other day. Like, you know, Green Day's been around for, you know, over 20 years now.
Yeah,
and so of the three albums, you know, they just put out the three back to back to back.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the first one was pretty good, the second one was less as good, and the third one was awful. But you'd think, like, I mean, being as around as long as they have been, that they would be afforded some of the same respect as, like, Dave Grohl would be. I mean, they almost kind of got started at the same time. But now he's, like, the official mayor of rock and roll. And I know we mention him on every podcast now. But, yeah, I mean, so he's like, the most revered figure in rock and roll. But Billy Joe, for some reason, is still, I don't know. People, I guess, kind of see him as kind of an embarrassment now.
Yeah. Barrett, anyway. Did you listen to the Waves album?
Did I?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I like it a lot. And I liked his first one, and the second one I didn't listen to that much, and then I kind of dropped off. The first one, though, it just sounded kind of like half-baked ideas, but there was always something in there that was really catchy, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
That, you know, these ones are all just a little bit more fleshed out, but generally kind of simple, too. You know, they're...
Mm-hmm.
Repetitive, but he'll find a little hook and repeat it. And I really like that. One called Dog that's very repetitive. That's not the one I'm going to pick, though. I'm going to go with number two, Demon to Lean On.
Yeah.
That's Waves.
Yeah, that they performed that song on Letterman.
Yep.
It was their first nationally televised performance.
Yeah, and that song is great, I think. And I really like the whole album, but at one point, you know, it occurred to me that a lot of it does sound like, you know, Nirvana demos. You know? And then I heard a little Green Day in there at times too, and those are two things that I usually kind of resist a little bit, but it still won me over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had a pick, and I told my son I was going to pick this, and he said, "Dad, that's the worst song on the album." So, all the more reason, I'm a rebel. I'm going to play track 8, Cop.
I'm about to kill somebody.
So it's kind of a dark theme, but it's kind of got this light-hearted kind of a sound to it. And it's kind of, I think it's a fun little diversion on the album, full of real super power pop stuff where it kind of lightens up the music part, at least, a little bit.
And my observation on that song is, if you take like the first, whatever, 5 or 8 seconds or whatever, I think you could sell that to like a dog food company for use in a commercial. I can just hear that whistling and stuff. Yeah. I can just picture like this happy dog running through the long grass in a park.
Yeah.
Play that just for a sec.
And we're going to think about the dog commercial?
Yeah.
The dog food commercial.
This is for like a healthy dog food commercial.
With a little chuck wagon in it?
Yeah, here we go.
Not that bird.
The dog's running, like, through the grass field to his food now, right? But not
mix that guitar a little bit lower and the whistling a little higher.
Yeah.
Then he's got a...
You know, he really does the...
licensing opportunity on his hand.
He does those wordless choruses really well, doesn't he? Does a lot of those woo kind of things. Mm-hmm. And he's good at it. He always has a catchy melody. Yep. If I have one complaint about this album, it's that he complains too much about being bored. Like, this is like his theme, right? I'm bored and it sucks. And, you know, he does that a little too much for me where I start thinking, Jesus Christ, you know, just,
yeah,
you know, if you're bored, think my gruff father-in-law once said this. He said, if you're bored, that means you're lazy. So I think of my gruff father-in-law when Nathan Williams complains too much about being bored. But other than that, good, solid album.
Yep.
Well, that's pretty much what the whole first Best Coast album is about.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Just being bored.
Yeah, there's some...
So there's the tie-in right there.
They make a good team of complaining about being bored.
They just sit around and look at each other all the time.
Yeah. All right. That is it. That's Waves, and there's more. There's so much music this week, it's ridiculous. The Strokes have a new album. Remember we did the little trivia question, which album is going to be better Vampire Weekend or The Strokes. Now we've heard one of them, so now we can update the prediction, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm on a... Well, we've... I like this all right. I mean, I just can't come up with a real strong reason to listen to it a bunch of times. You know? So, like, yeah, that's pretty good. But I'm not finding myself wanting to go back and listen to it anymore.
I think Barrett just volunteered himself for the first song.
All right.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
All right.
What's one song that maybe you would listen to again on this album?
I like the third song. It's called One Way Trigger.
All right. Hey, let me make a comment about this. So I heard this is the first song that I think they released before the album came out. My son and I were listening to this, and he was like, come on, what a cheesy synthesizer thing in the beginning, you know? And I was thinking the same thing, but then I kind of like this song too, because I think once you get past that goofy synthesizer, it's actually a good, catchy song. One Way Trigger. Strokes. The album is called Come Down Machine.
What does that keyboard part remind you of?
Anything? I was just going to say the same thing. Probably the same thing. It reminds me of Aha's Take on Me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely the same style. Yeah. Yep. But I just find it interesting that riff is playing for like the first minute. And then when it stops, there's a sense of like sort of relief that,
yeah.
Oh, they stopped that riff. Now the song is actually pretty decent. And then, I don't know, that's kind of what I thought about this whole album. I just put it on and had no expectations at all. And I kind of found it to be enjoyable.
You
know,
right.
Not, and I think part of it depends on like how you interpret it in the context of the Strokes being the Strokes. You know, like I listened to one other podcast, which shall be, it'll remain unnamed, but they hated it. They just hated it, and they said they just couldn't stand it. So
that's ridiculous. I mean,
well, I think they were I think they were interpreting it in the context of, you know, the Strokes used to be cool and they're not cool anymore or something. I don't know, but it hit
right.
them in a way that was just like a total turnoff. And I think it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, how easy and safe is it to be like before you even listen? Like, yeah, it sucks. They're not cool anymore. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's pretty good.
It's not going to be at your top of your priority
list. Album, but you know what?
Yeah,
I guess you have to want to listen to Strokes records to put it on. But Yeah, to suggest that it's, you know, terrible is, I think that's insane. Now,
from what I read about this album, like, Julian Casablancas, the lead singer, he, like, wasn't with the band when they were recording. He was, like, on the West Coast, and they were on the East Coast, and so he just, like, recorded his singing parts and, like, emailed them off to him or something.
I thought I read that they did that for the last album, Angles, and then that they for this one, they actually did go to the same studio.
Oh. So
I'm not sure. Anyway.
I can't read English.
What did you think, Chris, of this album?
I listened to it passively once, so I am no expert on this album. I don't even have a song to pick.
And
but...
you weren't, like, clamoring for more, apparently.
Because
if you were, you would have listened to it again.
It was only a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So I've had limited opportunities. So I will yield my song pick to you guys.
All right. I will pick the ballad, which I think is pretty good. It's track 9 called Chances. That's the Strokes.
Yeah, it's a good one. You know, getting back to some people's criticism of this, you know, there's a certain number of people that no matter what the Strokes did in 2013, the people were not going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I was kind of thinking about, you know, Roger Ebert died last week, and we talked about that. One of the people that, you know, they were interviewing lots of people who knew him, and somebody said, two things about him that I thought were really great and that I try to use in my work, this is somebody else saying this, was that every movie that he went to, he genuinely wanted to like it, and then he would then try to judge it on whether or not it was, you know, successful at, you know, in what it was trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you apply those things to this album, I don't see how you could say that it's not, like, it's pretty good, definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went in kind of trying to like it, and then in the end I kind of liked it all right, so.
Well, Chris doesn't have a pick.
Off of my soapbox.
We got to come up with another track. Why don't we go with the other, I think it's the other single. Is there such thing as a single anymore? Or is this just the song that you say, hey, people, listen to this one? That's what the single is now.
Yeah,
right?
It's like this is the one they played on Kimmel.
Yeah.
So
let's play that one. Track 2, All the Time.
Hey,
kind of a classic Strokes sound, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I could see somebody saying, well, I just don't feel like listening to the Strokes anymore. I'm kind of bored with the Strokes or whatever.
Sure.
And so I don't like it. But I think it's pretty good. Pretty solid. All right. That's the Strokes album called Come Down Machine. All right. We've got one more. We've got a friend of the podcast, the Hella Goats. Right? We can call them a friend of the podcast, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. In fact, yeah. If we didn't call them a friend of the podcast, then we'd be, you know, of questionable ethics, right? Because we have to admit that they're friends of the podcast. So that
right.
We might not be totally objective, but we like these people. And
was that somewhere in the music podcasting bylaws?
It's in ours because we have higher standards than those other podcasts. So, you know. Yeah, so you guys know Chris Otepka better than I do, but I got to meet him at Barrett's Coffee Shop. And how many times have they or he played at the coffee shop, Barrett? Like at least three times, right?
Yeah, many, many times. I don't know, like between 7 and 10 times, I'd say.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So I have no problem promoting the Hella Goats.
Right, it's really good. I mean, it's a band that deserves a lot more attention than they get. And thankfully now, they're getting that attention.
By being on the podcast? Yeah, that's
podcast.
Right.
But it is kind of weird talking about it, you know. I mean, because we've all met these guys and we're on friendly terms with them and stuff. It's not like we send each other Christmas cards, but what would we do? I mean, I like it, so it's good. What if I didn't like it? What would I do? Because I would not say that.
Yeah,
I think we would just
have
to.
And say, yeah,
we'd
have
to just agree to like maybe not review it.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
but anyway, now I feel like there's a super good chance that Chris is never going to hear this. Anyway,
yeah,
but
he might.
It sort of feels like he's sitting here listening to us.
Yeah,
but. So it's kind of weird.
Now
that's why I could never really do this job, like, as a job. No way. I could not remain objective. I hate hurting people's feelings. That's, like, the worst thing. So if I was a friend with somebody and I had to, you know, write a review for a magazine or a newspaper or a website or something, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have that kind of strength or those kind of ethics.
If you knew somebody and you were forced to write a Pitchfork review that gave it a 5.2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way I could do it.
And then the guy would say, I thought we were friends, Barrett.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you're not supposed to be friends with
right.
them. You know, that's what Lester Bangs would say. Don't be friends with them.
Yeah. Review from a distance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, okay.
But it's too late because we already liked this guy and he made another good record.
And it's called Back to the Ache. And
you guys get that reference, right?
It kind of sounds like the reference to a backache.
No, it's the Back to the Egg, the Wings album.
Oh, see, I didn't get
that. If you pull that up like on your computer and look at the cover, it's unbelievable how similar they are. I mean,
they did basically a
total copy.
They did a parody of the cover, huh?
Well, I guess it's a parody, I mean, but it's like totally straight. You know, they're not, don't seem to be making fun of it. They just replaced, you know, Paul and Linda and Jenny Lane.
I see it now.
Yeah. And it's amazing because I pulled them up at the same time. I thought, oh, this is just a Photoshop job. But then when you look at the background and stuff, I think they recreated all this somehow because it's not exactly the same.
That is funny. I didn't get the reference before. Now I do.
That's cool.
If you look at it close, it's, I don't know, but yeah, somebody had a really, really good idea and they pulled it off really well. It looks really cool. So, yeah.
All right. Let's play some music. I'll just start because somebody's got to pick this one. When somebody writes a song with a marathon running reference, you got to play it, right?
Yes.
Track 6.
If you're a nerdy marathoner, you have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, exactly. It's called 26.2.
26.2, you just took it on the chin. Cause this was the race, they made you want to win. To soon find home base, to be no place alone. And they call the lines on your face, the knots in your knees, the kids calling your name out to the middle of the street. So in the dreams, you tie your shoestrings and then you go. But here's the hard part. You never want to stop. Once you start, no, you never want to. And when they all yelled, run away, I heard, be my guest. I thought I'd already caught you in some sort of safety net or spider web or wedding dress. I thought for sure your busy legs would never shred. But like a bomb threat on the Goodyear blimp, there's a lost ambulance flirting with an early end and a safe bet to a last breath. I saw it coming, now what's next?
Yeah, that was my first pick, too.
It's a good one.
That is a good one.
Of course, when Chris Otepka fronted the band Troubled Hubble, they also had a great song called Even Marathon Runners Need a Nap.
Wow.
So he must have a thing with marathons or marathon runners. We'll have to ask him about that next time we see him.
He's pretty fit. I bet he's run marathons. You know?
Maybe. Yeah. That's certainly believable.
Yeah.
Yep.
He may be the only rocker with two marathon-themed songs.
Yeah, there aren't that many.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, all there right. was Ted Nugent. No. That's wrong.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember that one.
All right, I'll pick a song. I think the song that initially stood out to me most on this album was Foodie. So we'll go with that.
Good for the world, good for you, it's good for nothing, but it's all you can do to see the goodness in others when you let yours shine through. But the dark hidden in our hearts can't just be removed.
Tofutti. Yeah, that was one of my picks also.
Tofutti. Did you notice he sang the title of the album?
Yeah, the Back to the Ache reference. Yep.
Yep. Very appropriate.
Yep.
Well, I don't know how to pronounce this one. The third song, Dryzik.
Then I know which one it is.
Dryzik. Maybe it's Zeke. It sounds German, Zeke. Right?
Yeah.
Well, it's track 3. That's the Helligoats.
The Helligoats.
Back to
That's
the
good
ache.
Stuff.
Yep. Solid band. People need to expand the reach of the Helligoats. So tell your friends about the Helligoats so that then people can come back and give our podcast credit for promoting the
yes.
band. Yeah. It's really all about us.
I mean, some of our listeners won't have a chance, I don't think, to see them. Like, I don't know that they'd go to Australia, would they? They could play a European tour, though.
Yeah.
So.
You never know.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to pay. Somebody's got to pay their travel expenses to get them over there.
Right.
Yeah. They need a benefactor like that guy Christopher Owens had. Right?
Right.
not from a cult, though.
But, no.
Yeah. You know, I was going to mention one thing I like about this album. The little coloring of piano. There's a lot of good piano.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got his trademark sort of aggressively played acoustic guitar.
Right.
But there's a lot of cool coloration in it.
Mm-hmm.
Good solid album.
Yeah, and there's some horns in there and a little electric lead in the song that Chris picked out. And
yep.
Yeah, it's got some different elements, but underneath that all, it's kind of that unmistakable sound that he's got, and I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's, if I were, you know, like a, if I knew music theory, I'd say, oh, that's the Mixolydian mode that he favors or something. I don't know what it is, but there's some kind of something that is a common thread that runs through his songs that I can always identify, but I can never, you know, really describe.
Yeah,
you kind of know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has like a trademark style, and
yeah, so I like it.
Very cool. All right, we've covered a lot of music, and then we've gone over an hour, so the listeners might be thinking, when are they going to be done with this thing? Or maybe they've just turned it off.
maybe some of the participants are thinking that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they're done with it.
No further comment on that. All right. So we'll talk to you guys again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Is Chris going to say good night?
Oh, good night.
All right.
You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the webpage willsband.net. You can also contact us through the Will's Band of the Week Facebook page or on Twitter @willsband. You can also, of course, download the podcast on iTunes, the Stitcher app, or any other podcasting app. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin.